There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Live sport. This is The Grill
with Tom Urquhart.
Exclusively on Dubai Eye 103.8, where we, you, and the world of sport gets to have a say.
Afternoon all, welcome to The Grill, broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on. Brilliant crowd down here at Barasti today. Why? Well, because there is a whole host of sport to get your teeth into throughout the afternoon, along with some of their great food and beverage promotions down here at Barasti. So looking for somewhere to watch your sport this Saturday afternoon, get yourself down here. Do come and say hi to the Grill team broadcasting from Barasti between now and 6 o'clock. What we've got coming up for you early in the Premier League, early in La Liga. We'll have goals as they happen in those. Five games kicking off at 6 o'clock. Our focus game will be Leicester against Chelsea. So you've got Stoke against Man United coming your way live here on Dubai Eye from 8.30. In the cricket, lots to look back on, but also we'll be addressing the live cricket down at Lord's at the moment. Thankfully, a bit of cricket being played after yesterday's long delays. England against the West Indies, day three, could be the final day of this test match and this test series. Golf, we've got European Masters action for you and a look ahead to the President's Cup. We've got AFL and NRL playoffs down under. Back underway over in the NFL with a bang. US Open preview, today's All-American Women's final at Flushing Meadow, and tomorrow's men's final. There's Super League action for you. There's Aviva Prem, there's Curry Cup, there's Top 14, and there's Rugby Championship whilst we're all still on air. If you're in and about the vicinity, do come and say hi to us. As I said, we're live down here at Barasti. If you can't make it down, do send us your thoughts. You can text them through to us on 4001, or better still, tweet us at Dubai iSport. You're listening to The Grill live from Barasti.
This is The Grill. Get in touch via text on 4001 or tweet us at Dubai Eye Sport.
Yeah, do come on down and be part of the activities, the action and the passion down here. As I said, we've got a real smorgasbord of sports fans. We've got a big old rugby contingent in watching the Rugby Championship on a number of the screens. We've got the Premier League faithful in. Those looking for the early kickoff in the Premier League, Man City fans amongst those here with us at the moment. We've got the Real Madrid faithful in because their team have just kicked off as well. Everywhere you look, there is plenty of sporting intrigue, and talking about men with significant sporting backgrounds, albeit them from different and disparate parts of the world. It is time to introduce you to the Grill panel. Joining us today and flying the flag for all things south of the equator and the southern hemisphere, it is Mr. Mark Archer. Good to have you with us, Archie.
Afternoon, Tom. Afternoon, Chris. And afternoon, listeners. Yeah, plenty of sport action. I'm going to bring you bang right up to date. It's just gone half-time in the second Rugby Championship match today. Australia hosting South Africa over in Perth. And I can tell you the half-time score, the Wallabies lead the box 13 points to 10. Second half just underway. First half tries for the Aussies. Kirtley Beale was converted by Bernard Foley, who's kicked two penalties for the South African Springboks. It was a try to Jesse Creel and a conversion and a penalty to the fly half, Alton Janty. So second half just underway, 13-10, the lead with the Wallabies.
Thanks, Archie Boy. We'll have more from Arch in just a few moments' time. Lots for him to get his red head round, because he'll also be keeping an eye on what's happening down at Lord's. Also joining us and representing the entire Northern Hemisphere and all that is great about it is, of course, our head of sport, Chris McCarty. McCarty, we're underway already. No rest of the wicket.
Absolutely not. Yes, I'm like a kid at Christmas, Tom. Club football has returned this weekend, and what a start to the proceedings we've got. Over in Spain, it's Real Madrid against Levante. That one, a 1 p.m. kickoff over there in the Spanish capital and in the Premier League. All eyes will be on the Etihad Stadium. It is Manchester City against Liverpool. That one kicks off in just over 20 minutes' time. I've got team news for you. I'll give you that over the course of the next few moments as well. But I'm excited, Tom. You can hear it in my voice. Club football is back.
I can hear it in your voice. Right, we've got live sport to bring you up to date with. We'll do that. As I said, Arch, just give a quick reminder of the score in the Rugby Championship.
Yeah, second half just underway over in Perth. It's Australia trying to find their first win of this year's Rugby Championship, hosting South Africa, who have two good wins against Argentina. Just a half-time, just 2 minutes into the second half, but it's the Wallabies leading the box, 13 points to 10.
And Chris McCarty, bring us up to date with what's happening in Real Madrid's early kickoff.
Yeah, early moments there. What is it? 6 minutes gone over in the Bernabeu. It remains Real Madrid 0, Levante 0. You've got to give full credit to Zinedine Zidane. He has used his full squad today. He's made a lot of changes, has the Frenchman and Real Madrid. Not really looking like a Real Madrid side, it's got to be said, but you've got to give him great credit. He places such faith in his youth players, such faith in his squad, and I'm expecting this to be a good game this afternoon, but as I say, 7 minutes on the clock, it remains Real Madrid 0, Levante 0.
Before we get back to a little review of what's happened in the Rugby Championship so far today, I just want to bring you up to date with other live sport. It's England against the West Indies. It is day 3, and it looks, Arch, that it might well be the last day.
Yeah, it does look like this match will reach day 4. It's been a weather-interrupted match in the first couple of days at the home of cricket in at Lords. The weather has played a part. The bowlers have been dominating this match, and the West Indies started today in their second innings at 93 for 3 at stumps. They've lost 2 further wickets today. Jimmy Anderson has taken 2. He's now got 502 test wickets. He was the first Englishman yesterday to take 500 test wickets. Fantastic achievement from the Lancashire man, the swing bowler, Jimmy Anderson. He's now on 502 test wickets. So West Indies are 112 for 5. It means their lead over England is only 41 runs with 5 wickets remaining. Shea Hope, who's had a sensational series for the Windies, he is currently holding the team together, the innings together. He's 41 not out. Dale Rich is 4 not out. But the West Indies in their second innings, 112 for 5. They lead England by 41 runs, 5 wickets remaining. England will look to wrap this up on day 3 at Lords, Tom.
Thank you very much indeed. Right, so we're going to turn our attention to all things rugby. Why? Because Rugby Championship ongoing at the moment. South Africa gets Australia in the second of the 2 test matches. We had the early one just to conclude a few moments ago. It's down in New Zealand. I just want to bring you a piece of audio that was recorded before the match. This was Steve Hansen talking about the Pumas and being very defensive of Argentina. He feels that they've been hard done by in terms of the scheduling.
They're in a difficult situation. Oh, I think they've gone from being a team that was spread all around the world, which has its ups and downs, and to a team that were brought together and put into the Super Rugby competition. Now they play 4 or 5 home games every year, and then their next closest game is New Zealand, which I think is about 15 hours flight off. So it's in a horrific schedule they've got, and I think that takes a lot out of them. Well, I certainly wouldn't want to be doing it, but it is what it is for them. And playing together all year round, is it fresh? I don't know. You have to ask them that. I know they've got different coaches, so that would make some freshness about it. But it's not like our guys who are involved in 5 franchises. They come together as a nation and whilst we travel a lot, we don't certainly have that amount of travel. And it's definitely different because you've got a makeup of 5 different teams. So they're coming as one team into another team basically en masse. And I think that has some disadvantages, has some positives too, obviously, because they know each other well. I think they're looking to try and modify how they play. Like, they've always been really strong up front. And I've always felt they've been really quite classy in the backs, like have real ability to beat people and use the ball, but they haven't always done that because they've always stayed with probably the less riskier game of using their big forwards. And through Super Rugby, they've started to develop a more of a rounded game. And have they got to where they want to get to? I don't think so yet, but they're certainly trying to get there. Has that been at the expense of some of their forward play? Not sure, but there will be some compromising going on if you're trying to work hard on your other type of game. But they're a good rugby team, and if you don't respect them and you don't turn up 100% ready to go, then they're capable of causing you problems.
Blacks coach Steve Hansen there. Just before we get a reaction on that one, reaction to a goal in Spain.
Yes, goal at the Bernabeu, and it's not going the way you would expect. It's Real Madrid 0, Levante 1. It is a horrible goal. First rule of defending, Tom, never let the ball bounce inside the box. The Real Madrid defenders do that. It is a long throw from the right-hand side. Alexander Allegri just pops in front of the defender. He gets ahead of the goalkeeper as well, Francesco Casilla, and he just pokes the ball into the far corner. Real Madrid 0, Levante 1. I did speak about Zinedine Zidane putting faith into his younger players. Right now, he might be questioning that decision this afternoon. 30 minutes on the clock. It's Real Madrid 0, Levante 1.
Let's get back to the rugby. Let's get back to Steve Hansen as well. Giving credit to the Argentinians. That was before the match. I wonder if he shares those sentiments after what was I suppose the final score, Arch, flatters to deceive the real story of this game.
It does indeed, because before giving you the final score, the Pumas actually led the All Blacks 16 points to 15 at half time. Despite the All Blacks scoring 3-1, they actually scored 6-1 at the end of the match, but Argentina were well in this with about 15 minutes to go, and then the All Blacks made some substitutions. They're actually down to 14 men with Beauden Barrett off the field. They found the extra gear, they were clinical in the end, and it was a comprehensive victory against comfortable in the end, but 39 points to 22 for the All Blacks, particularly when they got some ascendancy in the last 15 minutes and pulled away, which means that the All Blacks have now won their first three rugby championship matches. I'm just going to break in there because Australia, the Wallabies, have scored a try against South Africa. It's their second try of the match. Pelota now has gone over after 47 minutes and has been converted by Bernard Foley, so it's now a 10-point lead for the Wallabies over the Springboks. They lead with 30 minutes to go in Perth, 20 points to 10.
So All Blacks survive scared to beat Pumas is how the headlines read at the moment. Hansen will be breathing a sigh of relief because he rung a few changes in this team. A couple being brought on out of necessity, but some young blood being blooded in this first test. And again, just yet more evidence of the extraordinary talent in reserve.
Yeah, Steve Hansen, the All Black coach, made 7 changes for this match, some out of necessity and some just wanting to give some different guys a run with the busy schedule that some guys have had with Super Rugby and obviously the Rugby Championship there. But yeah, Neha Milner-Scudder, a name we had a fantastic Rugby World Cup 2 years ago, scored in the World Cup final. It was his first match for the All Blacks in 2 years to bring him on, and they've left the guys like Ione's been left out of this match. He's given a few guys, but Milner-Scudder back. But the sensation really was this new flanker, Via Fifita. What a player he is. Where's he come from? He said, and Steve Hansen said, he is probably the best athlete I've ever worked with. And he's a young Hurricane man, and he came on, scored a sensational try for a while. He plays at blindside flanker, but where he plays is Super Rugby at the Hurricanes. They said, well, we could maybe convert you to a winger. He's that quick and that athletic. But he scored a try when he ran around the outside of the Puma backs to score a try in the corner, which really changed the momentum here. So watch out for this name, Via Fifita. He was sensational. Lima Sopianga, who comes on, Beauden Barrett went off. He came on, and then he started kicking goals for the All Blacks, which gave him that bit of comfortable edge. But Barrett didn't have a great day with the boot. So in the end, it was the All Blacks who prevailed over the Pumas, 39 points to 22, Tom. Let's just have a quick listen to the highlights of the match. This match was in New Plymouth, the hometown for the Barrett brothers. So we won't play the highlights right yet, but 39 points to 22, All Blacks have won their third match in the Rugby Championship.
Right we are. Just a quick one as well. What I did love about this Via Fifita thing is that he seems to have endeared himself to the crowd already. He's got his own celebration song, because when he scored, they put on the Gypsy Kings thing. What's that? Bamba.
Oh, God.
But everyone sings it to Via Fifita.
Very smart.
You make your debut, you score a try, and they've got your own song. He's made it. He's done it.
He's done it, hasn't it? Right, let's get some of those highlights. As Archie was saying, New Zealand took on Argentina. Down in New Zealand a little earlier on, this is what happened.
Traffic now via Fifita. No points yet in the opening moments, but Damian McKenzie slices through. Can set it up for Nahi Milner-Scudder, and he's back. It's been a long, hard road since the 2015 Rugby World Cup final, but Nahi Milner-Scudder scores. It's a chance for the All Blacks via Fifita, getting on the outside. Fifita scores a stunner. Outside, look at the coverage coming to try and get him. Too fast, too strong. It's a bit here. Fifita again. Crowd roars. This big man takes it. This is it away to McKenzie. This kid is sensational.
Brilliant run. Or did that go forward out of the hands?
Yes, it did.
Now they go to the short side and Barrett in front of his own crowd. Beauden Barrett scores the try.
Unbelievable goal!
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti, the best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Yeah, get lost down here, that's for sure, because you get lost in a world of sport. Sport being broadcast on all the screens down here at Barasti. We're on air all the way through till 6 o'clock. Then you've got live Premier League coverage right here on Dubai Eye from 6. Two live games for you later on this evening. Details to follow. What's happening in the Rugby Championship? Mark Archer.
Yeah, into the second half in Perth, Australia are trying to get their first win of this season's Rugby Championship against the Springboks. They currently lead 20 points to 13. Penalty recently to Elton Yantis for the Springboks has brought the deficit back to 7 points. But the second half try to Plotter now, converted by Bernard Foley, means that the Aussies lead 20 points to 13. Early win today for the All Blacks over the Argentina, 39 points to 22.
Quick reminder of what's happening down at Real Madrid at the moment. They've got the early in La Liga. About 20 minutes in, Chris McCarty.
Yeah, 21 minutes on the clock at the Bernabeu, where it remains Real Madrid 0, Levante 1. It was Evie Lopez that won. They got the goal. It was a terrible goal as well. The first rule of any defending. We said it before, didn't we? Do not let the ball bounce inside your own penalty box. Real Madrid, well, they don't listen to any of that. It's a long throw into the box. He just nips in front of the defender, and then Casilla in the Real Madrid goal. Absolutely no chances. He prods it into the far corner. Levante leading this one. I still fancy a response. Still plenty of time on the clock for Real Madrid to get back into this game. But that is a shock. They've silenced the natives at the Bernabeu. 22 minutes on the clock now. It remains Real Madrid 0, Levante 1.
And they take a bit of silencing, I can tell you that. Right, let's what have we got in the Premier League? We've got an early kickoff for you. Let's hear from the respective managers. Let's hear from the home boss first, Pep Guardiola, back to Premier League duty. And these are his thoughts on facing a Klopp team and all that entails.
They are well organized in the high pressing. They defend well and his transitions. When they regain the ball, they are amazing, with especially Mane, but this season with Salah. They have the quality with Firmino in that position. They have, when you play inside and you lose the ball there, they are so dangerous. So in the beginning of the season, always they are so strong. So their squad this year is a little bit depth. Last season, just play one game a week. This season we're going to play every 3 days. We're going to see everybody how that's happened, how react in that situation. But it's, of course, it was the team last season against the top 5-6 teams in the Premier League. The best results, always they win away and home and against the best team. So top manager, top club, top players. So it would be a nice game tomorrow.
For his part, Jurgen Klopp, well, he admits that he can't afford to make any mistakes against teams like Man City.
If you show weaknesses in a game like this, these teams will all use them, for sure. And it's clear that you have to be ready for the different situations in the game and against City. No, because these games are all different. City is probably the most intense game to play against, because it always, without a perfect attitude, without the maximum readiness to really work, you have no chance. They play too much football in too interesting spaces that you have a little chance. And so then you have to hope that they don't score. Yeah.
So let's hear what both those two managers have gone with in terms of team news. Chris McCarty has been raking through these.
Yeah, team news is in for this one. It is a belter. Can't not wait for this one. It is Manchester City against Liverpool. Let's start with the home side then. Pep Guardiola going with a back three this afternoon. So in goals, it will be Edison Moares. That is the Brazilian goalkeeper that they signed so lavishly from Benfica this past summer. Back three of Danilo, John Stones, Nicolas Otamendi. No Vincent Kompany. He is out injured. It's a midfield five. Two wing-backs will be Kyle Walker on the right, Benjamin Mendy on the left. Midfield three, Kevin De Bruyne, Fernandinho the anchor, and David Silva. He's gone for a front two this afternoon. Sergio Aguero and Gabriel Jesus. For Liverpool, couple of little, I guess, surprises in the team news. Simon Mignolet comes back in between sticks. That was after he was rested for the Arsenal win. Then comes Alexander-Arnold at right back, Joe Matip, Ragnar Klavan, Alberto Moreno. It's a midfield three of Emery Chan, Jordan Henderson, and Giorgio Wijnaldum. Then it's the front three, and this is the front three that excites me more than any other forward line, I think, in the Premier League. Mohamed Salah on one side, Sadio Mane, pace to burn both of them, and then they've got the little operator, the little technical man at number nine, Roberto Firmino. He is the one that will drop into little spaces. He'll try and make Liverpool that much more difficult to break down, but when they've got the ball, he'll look to get on it, and he'll look to ensure to release those two wide men. So this game, one thing it's got, Tom, and I hope I'm not jinxing this match, it's got goals. Goals are plenty. Both defences don't convince me. It is Manchester City against Liverpool, and it does kick off in about 4 minutes' time.
Got pictures of the Etihad, and looks like the owners are in place for this one. A big game to start the weekend's Premier League proceedings off. Love lost between these two managers?
Yeah, I think there's respect there, more than anything else. I wouldn't say that they'd meet up and go out for dinner or whatever. I think there's definitely respect. Pep Guardiola is a huge fan of what Jurgen Klopp has done, and likewise with Klopp, with Guardiola. But in terms of this match, I think this is the kind of match that is building now. What we call it, we seem to say it every weekend, the biggest match of the season thus far. And this has the feeling of it. Two teams who are unbeaten, fourth v second, in the sense that Manchester City are fourth with 7 points. Liverpool in second due to their superior goal difference at this this early stage of the season. These two teams want to be competing for the title, no question about that, come the end of the season. And that is why it's got the air already of a very, very important fixture. We all know that Jurgen Klopp, in the big games, very seldom gets it wrong. 5 wins and 5 draws last season against the top six. This season already, he started with that thumping win over Arsenal. So from a matchup perspective, I actually fancy Liverpool today to get something out of this one, because in those big games, they've got an awful lot of assets that can really hurt Manchester City over the 90 minutes.
Chris, international weekend, last weekend, most of the players probably playing part of this match in the squads travelled far afield to represent their country. The likes of Philippe Coutinho was good enough to get some time off the bench for Brazil, but he's not going to find his way onto the bench, I don't think, for Liverpool. Which team will be affected most by the international weekend last weekend?
That's a good question, Arch. I would probably lean towards Manchester City in all of this. I mean, you look through their squad, each and every one of them were away, to my knowledge. You know, Aguero was in South America, so was Gabriel Jesus. Mendy with France, Walker with England, of course, De Bruyne, Fernandinho, Silva. So you go through the full list of the starting lineups, and you've got to say you'd fancy Manchester City to be the team that's affected most. But listen, private jets are put on for these guys. They'll be well rested. That can be no excuse, and I'm sure Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp over the past 24 hours have said, listen, let us not make the international break an excuse. You go out there, you execute what we've talked about in training over the past couple of days, and you just hope, come Saturday afternoon, come kick-off and over the piece of the 90 minutes, that it is good enough. And I'm really looking forward to this game. I'm just excited, Tom. Club football's back.
Obviously, one of the big talking points around Anfield, around football at the moment, has been the Coutinho affair, the continuing Coutinho affair at the moment. A lot of praise for Klopp in the last couple of days about the way that he's dealt with this whole thing.
Yeah, he's welcomed them back into the fold, and he's not silly. Philippe Coutinho is an incredible little player, and you know, I think if you get his head straight and you get him fit, and you know, I've got no question over the next week or two they will get Philippe Coutinho up to match sharpness, and you know, he's a wonderful player, he really is. It would have been a huge loss to Liverpool had Barcelona succeeded in their pursuit of the Brazilian, but it's the type of character Jurgen Klopp is. He'll get him back in. It's a World Cup year as well. Coutinho doesn't want to be kicking his heels on the sidelines. He wants to be an integral part of that Liverpool team, and I've no doubt over the piece he will be one. And I think you look at the Liverpool squad now, still question marks for me at centre-half. Clavin doesn't convince. Joe Matip, I'm a big fan of him, but he's crying out for a partner. That is a worry. But midfield forward, Tom, you look at the options, Lallana, Oxlade-Chamberlain off the bench, Coutinho to come in there, Solanke, Sturridge. They've got enviable options on the bench. And I think Liverpool, I said it last season, I'll say it again, it pains me to say this, I don't particularly like Liverpool, they'll go close again this year.
Teddy, who's really impressed me throughout the season thus far as well, has been Mo Salah. I think he's been a great addition to the squad. He's started the season really well. Just interesting though, when you think you've got the likes of Lallana to come back in, if Coutinho's brought back into the fold, how does he incorporate all those players on one pitch?
That's going to be the worry. I think getting the balance of that team is key for Jurgen Klopp. They've got Champions League football this season, so there are going to be games coming thick and fast over the course of the next month alone. I think they play 7 matches over 24 days, so there's going to be plenty of games, plenty of game time for this, but you're right to say, in years gone past with Jurgen, certainly at Dortmund and Liverpool last season, the first 11 picked itself. He's now got big issues, and they're good problems to have, don't get me wrong, but getting that team right on a Saturday afternoon, it goes without saying, it's absolutely vital to your chances of being successful come the end of the season.
All right, we've got a couple of quick sports updates to bring you. Let's start with the rugby, Mark Archer. You seen something?
Yeah, it looks like a cracking match over in Perth. It's been all square now, 20 minutes to go. So Africa have just struck back with their second try of the match. It's gone to their hooker, Malcolm Marks. It's been converted by Elton Jantes. That ties the score up. It's 20 all with 20 minutes to go.
And there is another wicket that's just fallen at Lords. Mark Archer.
There is a wicket at Lords, and the man gone is Dalrych. He's been caught by Stuart Broad, bowled by Toby Rowland-Jones for 14. The West Indies are struggling 125 for 6, which means their lead over England is only a very small margin, 54 runs with 4 wickets remaining. England will wrap this match up today and win the series 2-1. That's my very bold prediction at this stage of the match in session one. The one bright hope for the West Indies is Shea Hope, 43, not out. He's had a great series so far, really emerged as a player of true international class. But the West Indies are struggling 125 for 6. Small lead of only 54 runs, not even lunchtime on day three.
Etihad Stadium is where the action is coming from in the early kickoff in the Premier League. It is Manchester City against Liverpool. The referee's whistle is just about to go, so we'll bring you all the goals from that as and when they happen. Chris McCarthy, in his preview of this game, said he predicts, he's not trying to put the mockers on it, but he predicts goals in this one. And if you look at the history of this game, there have been goals aplenty. Invariably, they've come by way of Manchester City. They've scored a shedload in recent times. Let's just try and remind ourselves of a few of them.
This uncertainty. Milner. Fernandinho. Milner. It's a lovely exchange. It's in. David Silva has Manchester City right back in the thick of the battle. Composure, a certain swagger about City now. Clichy. Milner. Silva. Nasri. Silva. It's gone in! Nasri. And Silva. Lovren towered over him. Kevin Jovetic! Now the break from Nasri. 2-0. It's him again. Oh, he wouldn't go straight in, would he? 3-0. There is your answer. Sensational. Silva, Aguero, rolling, Pacheco, 1-1. Bit of a save, Vinales made. Klein, Skirtle. And this is bounced back for Aguero, away from Lucas. And Aguero! Beauty! Beauty! Fernandinho. To Boyd. Aguero! In a flash! He only needs a glimpse!
E aí, pessoal, ajudem a gente a chegar a 1 milhão de inscritos.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Right we are. Let's get you some sports updates before we talk cricket in more detail. Let's go over to, let's start in Spain. We're about 37 minutes into the first half. Early kickoff, Real Madrid taking on Levante.
Yeah, Real Madrid were 1-0 down in this one. An early goal conceded by Los Blancos, but they are level now. Lucas Vazquez, the man on the score sheet, just popping up at the back post to level things up. No Cristiano Ronaldo for Real Madrid today. No Isco, no Gareth Bale, no Luka Modric. He's rung the changes, has Zinedine Zidane. At the beginning of this match, it looked as if that may well have been the wrong decision, but they're back on an even keel. You've got to fancy Real Madrid now from this position. 38 minutes on the clock. It remains Real Madrid 1, Levante 1.
And I'm going to ask Chris McCarthy to now move his eyes from one side of Barasti to the other side of Barasti, from Spain over to Manchester. We're about 7 minutes in, City against Liverpool.
Yeah, really good game this. I expected as much. Two teams that love to attack, and 7 minutes gone. No goals as of yet. Liverpool have threatened on the counter-attack. Mohamed Salah made Nicolas Otamendi look awfully silly, so he did. A cynical challenge right on the line of the penalty box. It was a free kick, Alberto Moreno. It didn't come to much, in fairness. Poor delivery from the Spaniard. And then up the other end, Kevin De Bruyne, who I think on his day, for me, is the best player in the Premier League. It was he that was running at the heart of the Liverpool defence. He could have threaded in David Silva. He chose to cut it on to his right foot. A tame effort in the end, safely into the gleeful arms of Simon Mignolet. But 8 minutes gone. There's enough signs in this match in the opening stages that there are going to be goals. I hope to goodness I've not jinxed it. But it is Manchester City 0, Liverpool 0.
Let's get to the rugby for you. Second of the two test matches today in the Rugby Championship. Mark Archer's watching this one for us.
10 minutes remaining at Perth in the second of today's Rugby Championship. Matches. It's all square. Australia 23, South Africa 23. Two tries for Australia. Kirtley Beale after 27 minutes. Talifu Palata now at the start of the second half. Tries for the Springboks to Jesse Creel and Malcolm Marks. Elton Jankies has kicked, converted both the tries, as has Bernard Foley. They both kicked a couple of penalties apiece. So it's Australia 23, South Africa 23. 10 minutes to go, Tom. It's going to be a good finish over in Perth.
Let's turn our attention to all things cricket now for the next few moments. Why England taking on the West Indies down at Lord's? It was a cracking day of cricket yesterday, despite the fact that the rain tried to get in the way. Let's remind ourselves of what happened at Lord's on day two before you bring you up to date with day three.
Nicely driven away from Milan. The other one he plinked for two. That one he's nailed for four. It's 52 for four. It's hard. And hit away for four. He hasn't tried to overhit that, but just the strength of Ben Stokes. A check drive for four. Looks dangerous as the all-rounder. It's 63 for four. I think he has, you know, Roach from round the wicket again. The muted celebration, he's done it before, he'll do it again. Edged in that gap as well. Just as he's moved that man. It was a great effort from Hope, but it would have gone straight to third slip. Notched away. Nothing wrong with that shot, dangerous man to drop. Clipped away, beautiful timing.
Ben Stokes is on fire too. He's the batsman that's making it look easy out there compared to everybody else so far in this match. Bairstow's away now, that's another boundary. Shuffle across and a nice shot, little punch down the ground. The ball's going to win this. That'll be 50 for Ben Stokes, well played. Now, is that going down? Oh, he's given him. I reckon he might review this. Yep.
Take it forward, take it forward, take it forward. One more. Okay, no bat involved. You can go for ball tracking when ready. Ball tracking coming up. Pitching outside the off-jump, impact in line. Wickets hitting. Three reds. You can stay with your original decision of out. I will let you know when you're on screen. Yes, you're on screen.
Gone, maybe a hint of inside edge. Shannon Gabriel round the wicket and perhaps a hint of in-swing. Huge wicket of Stokes.
Well, they're just going to check the no ball. We'll just have to wait and see here. He's been known to... Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. No ball.
Gone this time. I'm sure they'll check the no ball, a mirror image of the delivery a couple of balls ago. Fantastic bowling, but is it legal?
I'm sure they will check it.
Well, the umpire has not asked for the third umpire to check this. Oh, it's fine. So he's brought his mark back now. He's got it right now with his front foot, and he's got it right at the business end. Middle stump.
Taken. Very good from Kemar Roach. That's five for him.
Oh, Nick, gone. Short. Smashed away over the slips. And it's gone all the way again, Stuart Broad. Was an appeal. Oh, he's out. It's gone. It looks like it was just the plane a miss, but he's actually edged it. That's it. That's the last wicket to go.
Yeah! Bowling! It's an elite club. And Anderson's just joined it. Fabulous moment. Shane, you got a new member.
Yeah, welcome to the club, Jimmy Anderson. What a delivery to get it. Bowled out the middle stump. Excellent stuff. His teammates get around him. The crowd's on their feet clapping. And well done, Jimmy Anderson. 500 test match wickets. Great stuff. There'll be a bit of relief from him too. See that smile. That's 500.
And what a dismissal. Demolished the stumps. Great emotion for him and the team. And to do it at Lord's. Standing ovation.
Oh, surely, yeah, that's got to be out. Yes, given.
No need to run for those either. Moves on to 40-0, Kyron Powell. Inching towards his first half century in 27 innings.
A loosener, and you don't bowl looseness to hope. A wide from Stuart Broad, didn't have to play at it. A historic day, really, at Lord's. The boy from Burnley got 500 test wickets. What an achievement, first England bowler to do that. Only the third seamer in the history of the game to get 500 test wickets. It was quickly followed by number 501. An absolute jaffer to Kyron Powell.
So those are the highlights of yesterday's play. Mark Archer working through that. And, of course, keep an eye on play today. Before we go any further, Jimmy Anderson joining that group, that elite group. He's the sixth player to take 500 test match wickets. Who are the other five?
Oh, what was the question there? I was reading the stat. Five players to take 500 test wickets.
There are six players that have taken 500. The sixth being...
Jimmy Easy. Anderson, let's go Murali.
Yep.
Shane Warne.
Yes. Come on.
Oh, I'm blank now. Was he Makram?
No.
No, struggling off the top of my head.
Okay, Aussie.
Glenn McGrath.
Correct.
A West Indian.
West Indian, Courtney Welsh.
Correct.
Yes, Indian.
An Indian, oh, not Kapil Dev.
No.
Come on. He was coach recently.
Spinner.
Kumble.
Correct.
Thank you, Gene.
Got there.
I was just saying, though.
And that's it from us, you know.
But just saying, in terms of England statistics now, Jimmy Anderson with 128 matches, 501 test wickets. In second place is a big gap back to Stuart Broad, his opening, his new ball partner, 386. Ian Botham, 383. Bob Willis, 325. And in fifth position, Fred Truman with 307. So to put it in perspective, it's an amazing achievement by Jimmy Anderson, who looks as though he can still go on for a good couple of years. He looks very fit.
So the debate there is, could he become, there has been a lot of debate in the papers this morning about greatest of all time, etc., etc. But in terms of pace, if he's still got a couple of years in him, he could become the leading pace wicket taker. He's not going to catch Murali either, but that's for sure. I don't think anyone ever will. But he could become the leading pace wicket taker of all time.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do the stats, how many wickets. So he's played since 2003. He's played 14 years. He gets, what, 70 wickets a season, something like that? Is that what, 80 wickets a season? So if he plays another couple of years, he's going to possibly get break 600 and go somewhere over 600 if he can stay fit, which is always a challenge. But he's been pretty good with injuries throughout his career, really. He hasn't had too many nasty injuries. But if he plays another two seasons, you've got to think he's going to start to struggle in two more years' time. He may get, but he may achieve that amazing mark of 600 test wickets, which would be a fantastic achievement.
So Glenn McGrath, what is he? He's leading the way, 563, so he's 62 behind him.
Yeah,
you fancy him. Catch that.
Taking a couple of today as well, isn't he? So he's whittling away.
He's on four wickets he's taken in the West Indies second inning, so he's now on 502 wickets for his career. So, yeah.
So 61 behind.
Amazing.
Yeah, I fancy that.
What can we read into yesterday's play? Why have so many wickets fallen? Why are we in day three and it looks like we're going to get results today?
Well, test matches don't usually go on this long in the English summer, if we can call it the summer. The weather's getting a bit more damp. The clouds are there. The ball's swinging around. Lords is usually quite a flat wicket where runs on the board are usually quite important, Tom. But West Indies have only scored 123 in their first innings, 142 for six. England didn't score over 200, 194 in their first inning. So the ball is really dominating the bat, which makes for an interesting test match. The batsmen are having to earn their runs, which they're doing so far. But it's been tough work for the batsmen. The bowlers have really dominated the first 2.5 days of this test match. And just a score update, West Indies 142 for six in that second innings. They lead England by 71 runs, four wickets remaining. Shea Hope has done a wonderful job. He's 56 not out. He's really carried the West Indies batting lineup in the last two test matches.
Right we are. Let's hear from Jimmy Anderson. Now, he reflected on what he said was an emotional day for him at Lords to do it. At Lords to do it with such a beautiful ball as well. A memorable wicket for him. His 500th. How many more does he expect? Let's just get the thoughts of him straight after the game.
Ideally, I'd have got it out of the way first day, but Ben didn't want me to, so I had to wait till today. But to get it out of the way early, obviously the game situation is quite tight, so to just get it out of the way and really focus on that game situation is a big help. I felt a bit emotional actually on the field because I knew my family were there in the crowd, my kids and my mum and dad and missus. So yeah, for that, knowing that they were there made it very special. Sharing it with guys that I've played over 100 tests with, again, an amazing sort of feeling to see how pleased they were for me. Made it a bit emotional for a couple of overs, but then got my focus back. Or different emotions. The emotions I normally go through are anger and more anger. But today it was a bit more, not teary, but emotional in that way. Yeah, I was talking him through my 500 wickets. I was getting frustrated just because I was trying to get off the pitch. The slope, the footholds just weren't helping, and I was getting frustrated, you know, making a big effort to get off. But he mentioned it a couple of times, my first spell and then second spell just wore me straight away. So that, you know, I just got frustrated with that. But tried to chat it through with him. I'm not sure how much I'll bowl from that end tomorrow. I'm loving playing cricket at the minute. I think I'm bowling well. I feel fit and strong, and really enjoying playing in this team. So hopefully that can continue for
those are the thoughts of Jimmy Anderson, the Burnley Lara, giving his thoughts on those 500 wickets. A quick mention for the big noises going on down here. It's the boys watching the rugby over in the far corner. We're going to keep an eye on that one for you. Get a score update in just a few moments' time as well. Archie's craning his neck round to see what all the fuss is about. We'll bring that up to date in just, as I said, in a few seconds. Quick mention, though, for the West Indies. I mean, there was a lot of chat, wasn't there, Chris McCarty, going into this one, that a lot of people thought the West Indies would be rolled in this third and final test, the decider in this series. But they've come to the party again.
They've come to the party once again, although in saying that, it could well be over later today. But I think you've got to give the West Indies an awful lot of credit. Not many people did leading into this series. They felt that they were in a state of flux. As we know, we've talked about it so often on this show, they are, you know, shorn of their big names, the Chris Gayles of this world, etc. But a few players, Shea Hope, coming to the fore, that can only be good for West Indian cricket moving forward. And I think they have covered themselves in a little bit of, whether they lose or not, they've covered themselves in a little bit of glory. And fingers crossed, we start to see the West Indies. I don't think we'll ever see them back to the days that we saw back in the 80s. But at least we're going to see a West Indian team that, wherever they go on this continent, are competitive. And Test cricket needs it.
Greg Braithwaite has batted well at the top of the order. Mark Archer, we've seen the emergence of a young talent in Shai Hope. It's been interesting as well to see the likes of Shannon Gabriel and Kemar Roach. I've been really, really impressed with the way that Kemar Roach has used the slope at Lord's, specifically in that first England innings.
Yeah, goodbye Kemar Roach. 5 for 72 he took, and obviously he's got his name up on the Lord's away team honours ball, which is always an amazing achievement for any cricketers up there for a long time now. So yeah, he's done his job as a seamer. It's been, both teams have been inconsistent, haven't they? England throughout the summer, despite winning 3-1 against South Africa. This series, they dominated the first test. They got hammered by the West Indies in the second test, who bounced back and made a few of the pundits sort of eat their words. And looks like England are going to dominate and win this test match quite easily at this stage. But it's good to see performances, albeit inconsistent performances, by the West Indies players. Let's hope that man, Shai Hope, emerges now as a true rock of the West Indian middle order, and they can build some players around him, because I think there's definite flaws in both teams' batting. England haven't found some answers ahead of the Ashes series. An opening partner has yet to be found for Alistair Cook, whoever's going to bat number 3. Milan hasn't convinced in the middle order for England. England have got some questions to ask, who they're going to take down under to Australia. And the West Indies, there's some players there that just aren't up to it. They've really struggled to even trouble the scorers at all. So both teams with all problems with the batting. It looks like this test match has really been dominated by the seam bowlers.
Here's a little bit of trivia here to think about. We're going to hear from Kemar Roach now. As Arch rightly said, he's got his name up there on that board. In fact, we're going to be hearing from two players who've got their names onto the respective boards in this game. Ben Stokes, after his dominant and mammoth bowling display in West Indies' first innings. And then Kemar Roach, who responded in kind during England's first innings. We're going to hear him from there in a moment. But I was sit there watching it yesterday. And what with the Hope brothers in there? Braithwaite, he's got a brother, obviously. Carlos is the one we'll remember the name, obviously, after the T20 game. The Bravos, they've got a few, haven't they? Of all the Test nations, hang on, we've got a goal. Let's go to the goal sting.
And it's come, Tom, at the Etihad Stadium, Liverpool. No, it's not them that have scored. They have been dominating. It's Manchester City, though. Just in a blink of an eye, they turn defence into attack. They'll still give you chances, will Manchester City, but then again, so will Liverpool. We're just watching a replay of this one now. It's a long kick upfield from Simon Mignolet. This one is a terrible goal to lose. Fernandinho just bullies, I think it's Wijnaldum, out of it in the centre of the park. That man, Kevin De Bruyne, I say it time and time again, he is the best player for me in the Premier League. It is he that picks the pass. Lovely little slide through ball through. It split the two defenders, Clavin and Yo Matip. Sergio Aguero scampers on through, just rounds the keeper, and he's got the easiest of tasks, slotting it into the empty net. 24 minutes on the clock. It's Manchester City 1, Liverpool 0.
Keep an eye on that one for you. Yeah, try and come up with other West Indian sporting brothers and keeping it in the family there. In the meantime, though, let's hear from Kemar Roach's name's up on the board at Lord's.
Oh, it means a lot. A lot of players went before me, Courtney Walsh, Malcolm Marshall. To be a part of that is an amazing feeling. A lot of players have come here and never got it done, so to be a part of that board is just a history. So for me, and like, you know, it's just about getting better as a cricketer and going forward and probably doing it again if I come back here. I've learned my art a little bit more. I'm more experienced. Obviously, I've been talking to past players as well, Corey Cullimore, guys that played in England for a couple of years. So coming here, I was prepared, so obviously I know how to bowl on certain pitches and obviously the length and stuff that's going to be crucial. So I must say kudos to those guys for helping me out, and it's all about me going out there and just exhibiting, you know, what I've learned and putting the best foot forward. Two guys at the crease now, two of the best batters in the team. I think once they can go along and put a good size of lead on the board, I think we're up for it. The borders have been ready. I think that we've been doing a great job. We've been practicing hard. We've been doing all the right things, so it's just about one more run and get the job done. Yeah, definitely. We're here to fight. You know, obviously, we're here to put up a fight against the English. We had it in our minds to come here and win, and we're definitely been trying to do that. There's some things we need to brush up on, but I think all in all, a young side coming to England, we've put out a hell of a fight, and we're going to keep fighting in the second innings.
Simon Wright has got his work cut out, because Kemar Roach is on the away board, on the home board. Ben Stokes, he's got now up there twice. He's got a ton at Lord's in the past, so he's up there for batting honours.
Yeah, and he also took a career best 6 for 22 in the West Indies first innings. What a player Ben Stokes is becoming. He's almost now England's go-to guy when they're in trouble. with can't get a breakthrough. He's the man who's got that lucky arm. He comes up with the wicket-taking deliveries. And when the middle order for England has been struggling, he comes in at five or six and just gets them out of trouble. He scores quickly. He's aggressive. He turns the momentum of games. But what a cricketer Ben Stokes is becoming. Let's just listen to his thoughts on becoming. Now he's on the he was on the batting honours at Lords. Now he's on the bowling honours with that 6 for 22.
Probably the last three to four weeks, I feel like I've been getting back the consistency and everything like that with my action, but not quite producing what I wanted to do. I felt I was letting the team down a little bit, but then obviously to go out there and bowl the way I did today was sort of like a monkey off my back, I guess. Me and Jimmy were a bit confused at one point because he came to take his stuff off, but I already had my hat and jumper off. But then he just said, "Oh, just keep going." But he told me in the dressing room after that, just keep going after the break as well. As I say, I enjoy bowling those long spells. Gets me into a good rhythm. And obviously the ball was doing what it was doing all day. Hard work, contributes towards success, which is why I gave, a little wave up to Gibbo. He's helped me over the last 6-7 weeks. Put loads of hours in with technical stuff, bowling in the mornings, bowling at training. So, if it wasn't for him, then, I'm not sure I would have had a day like I did today. But hopefully, it's a starting point when I can kick on and start producing some better performances with the ball. Obviously at Lords, the home of cricket, to be on one honours board is an honour in itself. But you can't take it away from you, and I'll always be able to say that I'm on there, through batting and bowling, which is a nice thing to think about. No, I said that over he bowled to Bishu was the best over in history of Test cricket to not get a wicket. I've got no idea how he didn't manage to get one, but he's got another crack at getting the big 500, and I'm sure he will. Obviously he's been a class performer, and hopefully I can be on the pitch when he manages to get it.
Ben Stokes reflecting on his heroics on day one of the Test match. Let's just go quick score update from Lords as they go in for lunch. It's been uninterrupted play throughout the morning session as well. England, I would have said, are probably edging it a little bit in this one.
Yeah, England in the driver's seat here. In the West Indies second innings, 142 for 6. Holder on 6 not out. Shea Hope on 57 not out. And they only lead England by 77 runs. 4 wickets remaining in the second innings for the West Indies. I'd say England will be looking to get those final 4 wickets in the second session today and knock off the runs as quickly as possible and have a couple of days off.
You get a lead of 100, though, and given the fragility of that England top order at the moment, the pressure that a number of those boys are going to be under, given the fact that this is their last opportunity to shine before getting on a plane.
Yeah, it's going to be tricky for England because there's a few players there with everything to lose and nothing to gain if you're chasing a score of around 100 to 150. There's a lot of players who have already booked their places, their seats on that plane down under to Australia for the Ashes. But there's a lot of batsmen in that team. Wesley 1, Milan 2, who definitely need a score. But what can you get when you're chasing 100-odd? 40 not out, 50 not out, and it's not going to be enough. So I think the selectors have probably made their minds up already about a few of the players. But here's Liverpool on the attack. Oh, Chris McCarty.
Oh, what a game this is. Really good football again from Liverpool Football Club. Sadio Mane picks it up. He spins on a sixpence. He plays the ball through. The Manchester City defence is too high. Mo Salah goes scampering in behind. He opens up his body. He tries to place it into the far corner. And Ederson, the Manchester City goalkeeper, gets down low to his right-hand side to keep the ball out. We're just seeing picture of Mo Salah. He knows that was a chance. Yes, he was at an acute angle. We're watching replays of it now. Sadio Mane, what a player he is. I'm such a big fan. It is a beautiful pass. Nicolas Otamendi trying to play offside. Wrong decision. Salah is through. He opens his body up. He tries to bend it into the far corner. Good save that from Ederson. It remains Manchester City 1, Liverpool 0.
It is time for the news at 4 o'clock. When we come back, we'll have all the live scores for you, all the updates, and we're going to be talking and in conversation with the co-founder and MD Duplays. Ravi Basari is going to be joining us with news of new openings and new developments for the largest, UA's largest adult sport and social club with over 100,000 registered members. That's coming your way after the news.
It's a homecoming. The grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.